It's the final four of the 2023-2024 CAF Champions League, and this is going to be your preview show. Please come in and join the fun. My name is Maher Mizahi. I am your host of this version of the African Five-A-Side podcast. As always, this podcast is brought to you by africasacountry.com. So let's jump right in. We are in the final four, as mentioned. We have Al Ahly from Egypt. They've made it. We have Mamelodi Sundowns from South Africa. We have Esperance Tunis from Tunisia, and we have the all-powerful Tout-Puissant Mazembe from the Democratic Republic of Congo, or as some people call it, Dr. Congo. And when I say that this is like four of the top clubs in Africa, four clubs of royalty, Al Ahly have the continent-leading 11 Champions League titles to their name. And it's going to be very, very tough for anybody really to catch up to them. Mazembe have 5 titles to their name. And what I love about Mazembe's historic success is that it goes all the way back to the 1960s. They're the first club in Africa to ever win a treble, league, cup, and Champions League. Esperance de Tunis have 4 titles to their name. And they've been very, very consistent Final Four finishers over the last decade or so. And Mamelodi Sundowns just have the one title to their name, but anybody that's been following them knows that they've been probably the most impressive African side after, you know, maybe Al Ahly and Wydad Casablanca over the last 5 to 7 years. And so we have 3 of the 4 usuals, you know, Sundowns, Al Ahly, Esperance Tunis. They are, you know, 3 of the 4 sides that made it to the African Football League semifinal earlier this year. 3 of the 4 sides that were in the African Champions League semifinals last year. The only team that's sort of out is Wydad Casablanca. They had a little bit of a funky year with their president of the club being jailed in a drug scandal. And instead, we have TP Mazembe. TP Mazembe, who, as we've already spoken about, are going back to their roots, bringing back their coach Lamine Ndiaye, who they had so much success with at the turn of last decade. TP Mazembe, who are again starting to poach, you know, from neighboring countries and places like Mali and Senegal at a very, very high level. And so Mazembe, I think, are worthy participants now. And so let's break down the games one by one. And we'll start with Mamelodi Sundowns versus Esperance Tunis. Just some quick team news. Esperance Tunis will be hosting the first match tomorrow, Saturday evening, I believe. It's going to be in Tunis, the suburbs of Tunis, Radis, at the Hamadi Agrabi Stadium, which I believe actually the capacity is around 40,000. But since the Arab Spring, really, Tunisian government, Tunisian authorities have always limited and capped attendance. So there's only going to be 27,000. 27,000 tickets were put up for sale, and 27,000 tickets were completely bought within a matter of hours, if not less than an hour. So there's a great amount of excitement. There's a great amount of demand to be there. There's it's an energized fan base, the Mkeshkhin, the Taraji faithful are. And there should be around 200 to 300 Sundown supporters. Usually these are, you know, either students or people that are working in the country that, you know, usually get to go to the matches for free. That's what happens on our continent usually, as we don't have very, very strong traveling fan contingents. Both of these sides, Esperance and Mamelodi Sundowns, are having pretty solid years. They're both league leaders at the moment. Esperance de Tunis are sort of in a playoff. You know, the Tunisian league is sort of split into two groups, and then the best clubs from these two groups go on and play a playoff. The PSL is not. It's more of like a traditional setup, and I believe Sundowns have more than a 10-point lead on second place side Stellenbosch, if I'm not mistaken. I need to double check that. However, that's about where the similarities end for me. Sundowns are going through a very uneasy time, if you've been following. Since the first leg of the quarterfinals against Yanga, Sundowns, if I'm not mistaken, are going to be playing 6 matches in around 16 days, which is more than 3 matches per week. It's absolutely crazy. So they drew versus Yanga, 0-0. 1-0 versus Richards Bay. They drew versus Yanga again, won in penalty shootouts. 1-0 versus Cape Town Spurs. Drew in the Nedbank quarterfinals. And then drew with Moroka Swallows. So not only are they playing matches in quick succession, but Sundowns are not really getting the results that they're looking for. They're drawing a lot of matches. And as you sort of statistically analyze the recent results, they've never had less than 77% possession in any of those matches that they played over the last 3 weeks. Never had less than 77% possession. I'm gonna emphasize that again, which is very rare on the African continent, and they do a wonderful job of keeping possession. However, they'd never had more than two shots on goal more than the opponent, despite them monopolizing possession. Meaning that, for example, against Yanga, they could have six shots on target, but Yanga will have four. So as much as they dominate the ball, when it comes to real goal-scoring opportunities, they're not creating that much more than their opponent, which sort of, in my opinion, explains some of these draws that are happening. And in my opinion, you know, this was something that we all saw happen with Yanga against Young Africans, and we all sort of criticized Sundowns for, and we wondered, you know, can they overcome this? Because all teams, in my opinion, know how Sundowns play, and they're going to set up the same way to try and stifle them, to try to frustrate them, and to try to either hit them on the counterattack or on set pieces, and play really, really good defense. So not only are they playing, you know, an incredible amount of matches in a very short period of time, Mamelodi Sundowns are, some of their players, Thibaut Mokoena, for example, who limped off against Morocco Swallows their last match a few days ago, he limped off after scoring a goal, and that was his 46th match this season. 46 matches this season. And some of that is because, you know, the African Cup of Nations and South Africa goes far, and then he got called up for the two friendlies in March as well for Bafana. And so he's playing a lot of national team duty. But this is, I think, one of those reasons why South African clubs and the South African FA, I think, tend to clash. And I didn't really understand it 2-3 months ago. I didn't understand why Sundowns, you know, wanted to maybe keep some of their players from going to the African Cup of Nations or send them late. I didn't understand why Hugo Bruce was meeting with, you know, Dr. Koza to see, you know, why some clubs were more reluctant to send their players to Bafana. I didn't understand why Sundowns coach Rolani Mokoena was, you know, complaining about the schedule so much. But as you pay attention, you realize this is pretty hectic. This is pretty radical. So I can understand the side of the South African clubs more now. Because, you know, in my country, in Algeria, the national team reigns supreme. But as, you know, we did a South African national team preview before the AFCON, and we had our good friend Valile come on, the South African journalist at SABC, and he told me that, you know, that was actually one of the legacies of apartheid, was that some South Africans still feel club over country. And so we see this conflict, and I can understand why this conflict exists now. But still, remember, Sundowns have a huge budget. You know, they're owned by the Motsepe family, one of the richest men in Africa. They've used more than 40 players in the CAF Champions League this season. So it's not like they don't have the means to deploy a wide array of players. They do. But still, there's a core group of players that Mokoena likes to use, which is, I think, understandable, normal. We see this, you know, with Arsenal and Mikel Arteta. We see this with a lot of top coaches. There are some players that have the coach's trust, and it's normal for him to want to use those players. But as a result, I just wonder about fatigue for Sundowns. I wonder about fatigue. And, you know, when fatigue sets in, you become sloppier. You pick up more injuries, maybe as evidence with Thibaut Mokoena, who I think should be playing. I think it's just a slight nick that he should it was more precautionary for him to come off than anything else. But still, that kind of accumulated fatigue towards the end of the season is something that I've been thinking about, and something that I think may disadvantage Sundowns. As for Esperance de Tunis, as I mentioned, all tickets were sold out. There's a lot of energy in the fan base, and for some reason I think we tend to, you know, of the four clubs that I mentioned earlier of that have been sort of ruling African football over the last few years, Al Ahli, Wydad Casablanca, Esperance de Tunis, and Sundowns, of those four clubs, I think Esperance de Tunis are probably the ones that we pay the least amount of attention to, that there's the least amount of hype behind, despite their success, despite them winning, you know, a Champions League as little as 5 years ago. And I can kind of understand it, because if you go player by player, I think they're probably one of the weaker, they're probably the weakest side of the four. Maybe now with Wydad, they're about at the same level. But I'm thinking maybe we're overlooking them a little too much this time around. And to compare and contrast with Sundowns who played six matches in 16 days, Esperance de Tunis only played three matches since the beginning of the Champions League quarterfinals. So including those two matches of the quarterfinals, a home and away against AZ Mimosa, they've only played one other match against Monastir a few days ago, which was a very intense match, but still one compared to four for Sundowns, which is, it's a big, big difference, right? So they should be coming into this match healthier, fresher physically, more focused as well, because they don't have to worry about the Ned Bank. They don't have to worry about, Morocco Swallows. We talked about Esperance de Tunis this season. They brought in, a new coach halfway through the season, so they already had their coaching change. They also brought in about half of a new team. They kept their defense intact. They promoted a young goalkeeper, so they sort of stabilized that part of their team. But everything from the midfield up, midfielders like Hussein Tqa, like Raji Ahulu, the Togolese experienced midfielder, sitting midfielder, players like Yann Sass, the Brazilian winger, Rodrigo Rodriguez, the Brazilian striker, Andre Bukia, the Congolese winger. These are all new players that they brought in this season that have done a decent job. However, I personally was a little bit disappointed with their output against AZ Mimosa. That was a very ugly tie where neither side were interested in really taking a chance and going and scoring. It was more, the idea was more to sit back and not concede. And I was very disappointed with the amount of attacking output from all of those players. The only player that had any semblance of scoring was Osama Bugera, who came off the bench, a winger that came off the bench, who hit like a 35-yard bomb right onto the crossbar. It was a beautiful effort. But that was the only real chance that, comes to mind from, any one of those players. Like Rodriguez had like a breakaway against the goalkeeper, but it was like something that was given to him, not something that he created. When you take into account, these two things, how is this match going to sort of unfold? For me, I'm going to give two theme words to really represent the two sides. Mamelodi Sundowns, for me, the first word that comes to mind when I think Mamelodi Sundowns, I think control. Control. They like to control the way they play, how the opponent plays, like to control the match, and they can do it because of, the great coaching that they have and the great players that they have. When I think of Esperance de Tunis, I think of like assuredness, like a quiet, calm confidence. So that I'm trying to reconcile those two notions in my mind. And I think, with the fatigue, with a little bit of stress, because, Rolani Makwena in a press conference recently said, we're allowed to be tired. We're allowed to be cranky, admitting that they're tired and cranky. He's like, look at what we've had to endure over the last few weeks. I think about the spirit that both of these sides are coming into. I'm thinking about the stadium in Radis in Tunis being as intense as it is. I'm thinking about Esperance de Tunis's very poor attacking output against AZ Mimosa. And I think that this is going to be a match that's not too dissimilar to how Sundowns played against Yanga in Tanzania in the first leg, where it could finish 0-0. There's not going to be too much attacking output from either side. Neither side is going to want to take a lot of chances. But in my opinion, Esperance do have a little more attacking quality than Yanga does, even though Yanga has fantastic players. Players like Aziz Ki, Pakum Zuzwa. I don't think Yanga has a striker or as much goal-scoring threats as Esperance has. Esperance can double up on wingers. Their striker, Rodrigo Rodriguez, is in decent form. So it's one of those where Esperance de Tunis and Tunisians, too, they're specialists at, playing the dirty games, the things that Mamelodi Sundowns, for me, are amateurs at. So if there's like a half chance, if there's a way they can send off a player, if there's a way they can influence a referee, if there's a way they can waste time, they're going to optimize that. This is one of those where I feel like it's either going to be a draw, a 0-0 or a 1-1, or Esperance de Tunis are going to win by one goal, setting up a really, really tense return leg in Pretoria at Loftus. But that's, I think, mainly down to the fact that I think Sundowns are going to be a little too fatigued. They're coming in a little bit cranky, and Esperance are coming in with a lot of energy. trying to take into account all of the intangibles here. So I think Esperance Tunis, this is going to be my final prediction, win this match by one goal, but Sundowns still play well and are very much in it for the return leg. And as I make my predictions, I just wanted to boast a little bit because I think I got all of my quarterfinal predictions correct for the CAF Champions League. So a little bit of a hat tip from me. The second match, Al Ahly versus TP Mazembe. This is one where you know it's going to be a packed stadium in Lubumbashi. We talked about that atmosphere before. You know, Moise Katumbi recently came out and said that if we beat Petro de Luanda in Angola, it's because of the supporters in Angola, the Congolese supporters in Angola, that community there, and that the energy that they brought to us at the stadium, that's what got us to the semifinals. And Mazembe historically are a side that can harness that energy in Lubumbashi, and I think that they will. You know, the stadium is very tight, intimate, close to the pitch, and you can feel it. You can really feel it. It's very rare to see them drop points at home. Going into club form, Mazembe have played they're in a playoff similar to Esperance Tunis in the Congolese Lina Foot League. They're off to a hot start, 5 clean sheets in 5 matches, and they just beat their biggest rivals AS Vita Club. So that bodes well. They've been keeping clean sheets as well in the or they've been defending very well in the CAF Champions League as well. That's been a theme across the tournament, as we've already spoken about. And there's another thing here, a motivational factor. Renford Kalaba, the mythical, historic Zambian winger of TP Mazembe, the winger that won the 2012 AFCON with the Zambia, he had a horrific car accident. I'm sure you've heard about this. Initially, he was pronounced dead by the team that arrived on the scene. And that's what sort of filtered out through social media. Thankfully, he managed to survive the crash. I don't know if they managed to revive him back at the hospital or if the initial prognosis was wrong. But he seems to be getting better every day, responding to his name, responding to, you know, simple actions and demands. And so that's really good news. And TP Mazembe, his club, everybody at the club was affected by it, especially the coaching staff, especially the owner, and especially the teammates that played with him in the past. And so I wonder how much of a motivational factor this will be in this match. You know, do it for Kalaba. I think it's going to be, you know, a factor. It's going to give maybe an extra percentage point or two of energy to the supporters, too, in the stadium. I'm sure they're going to have a pre-match ceremony or minute of, maybe not a minute of silence, because thankfully he hasn't passed away, but something like that to honor him and to give him a little bit of strength and to boost his energy in the hospital as he recovers in Zambia. I liked what the coach had to say about this match, Lamine Ndiaye. He said, when we arrive at this level of the competition, Al Ahly are formidable. They are even more formidable at this stage of the competition than they are at the start of the competition. So we're expecting a very difficult match. For me, that's a coach that is very experienced and that understands this. This is a very underrated point that he's saying right now. And it's true that top clubs, think about Real Madrid and them just going past City. Think about Bayern Munich and how they got past Arsenal. There's something about those top clubs, that the royalty, that when they get to this stage of the competition, the quarterfinals, the semifinals, even if they're not as strong as they, you know, as they are, if it's not their day, let's say, they find a way to get through, right? I think this is what he's saying here, that it's not necessarily that they're going to dominate Mazembe in Lubumbashi, but they're a difficult side to beat, as we saw in the first leg against Simba, where Simba dominated the match, but Al Ahly still came away with a 1-0 victory. And so I think it's great that the coach understands that, and hopefully he can transmit that to his players. So yeah, you know, Mazembe, as we mentioned prior, you know, they don't rely on one player for goals. They spread the goals around, you know, 5 or 6 attacking players. They've been defending very well. They're a little bit awkward at times. They can miss a lot of chances, but they're very energetic and very vertical and difficult to play against. Let's talk about Al Ahly before we break down how we think this match is going to go. Al Ahly, unlike Mazembe beat AS Vita Club in the match coming into this one. Al Ahly lost the Cairo derby to Zamalek 2-1. Al Ahly, in my opinion, are not really focusing on the league at the moment. They're more worried about, you know, getting their players back from injury. Percy Tau was nursing something, and he's going to be back for this match. He wasn't playing in the league. Hussein Shahat, in the second leg against Simba, got kicked in the face. He's recovering from a facial fracture. I'm not sure if he's going to be playing in this match, but I think he could have played, you know, against Zamalek, but it's one of those where why risk it? You know, the Ahli is, the league is still young in Egypt, and the Ahli already has a pretty sizable lead. However, they won't have two pretty good midfielders, no Imam Ashour, no Marwan Atiyah, which makes me think that Al Ahli is going to really focus on defending well and then sort of bypass the midfield. Don't take the time to progress the ball through the midfield. Directly to Anthony Modeste, your big striker. See if he can lay the ball out to Percy Tau. That's what they did very well against Simba, was that Hussein Shahat on one wing, Reda Daslim on the other wing. They would get the ball in wide areas, play the ball into Modeste as a sort of anchor, as a target striker. He's usually hovering around the box. And with his back towards goal, which is what he's really good at, he would lay the ball off onto oncoming midfielders or wingers, and that's how they would score. So I could see Al Ahli also playing vertical, which as a result, I think the first match, Esperance against Sundowns, is going to be a boring match. It's going to be a match where, they're trying to break down each other's structures and possession, a lot of horizontal play. I think this one is going to be a lot more vertical because Mazembe play that way, and because I think Al Ahli are going to be forced to bypass the midfield and play vertical as well. So no Imam Ashour, no Marwan Atiyah, two key midfielders, no Aliou Dieng, who's been suffering from a very long form injury. So this is really that was, in my opinion, you know, Al Ahli's strongest midfield, those three. But they can rely on the experience of Amr Suleya. They can rely on Ahmed Nabil Kouka, who scored an important goal against Simba, the young Egyptian midfielder. And hey, in the CAF Champions League, Al-Ahli are undefeated after 10 games. They just conceded one goal in the process. So I like Al-Ahli. I mean, that's a hot take. I like Al-Ahli in the Champions League. But it's hard to bet against them. But my final thought is that I don't know if I feel the same amount of hunger from them as I did 5 years ago. Al Ahli won 3 out of the last 4 CAF Champions Leagues. They're picking up some injuries. They made it to the Club World Cup. You know, they finished in 3rd place, which is a really good result for the African continent. I just don't know if they're that hungry. I don't think it would be a catastrophe if they lose in the CAF Champions League this season. You know, it feels like the end of a cycle with Marcel Kohler. Feels like an end of a cycle with a lot of their players as well. And that's something that I felt like throughout the CAF Champions League, as good as they have been, I just feel like, you know, at a certain point, it feels like the end of a cycle and they're not as hungry as they were before. And so going back to that game I played with the first match, when I think of one word for Mazembe, I think of young, fast, awkward. Those are 3 words, but there's one word that sort of brings it together. It's like coltish, you know, like a young colt, like a young horse. That's like, you know, just so energetic, but awkward running around. That's how I see Mazembe. They're going to run more than you. They're going to commit more fouls than you. They're going to be more physical than you. They're going to be more vertical than you. They're going to miss more chances than you, but they're also going to create more chances than you. Whereas Al Ahli, I think of poise. So energy versus poise. Those are my 2 words. Energy for Mazembe, poise versus Al Ahli. Al Ahli with their experienced defenders like Ali Mahloul and Mohamed Hani and Rami Rabi'a and so on and so forth. It's one of those matches where Mazembe, I could see them winning 3-0 or 3-1 just because they create so many chances. But I could also see them creating so many chances, missing them all, and then Al Ahli winning 1-0 or 2-0. It can go either way, but I do think this is going to be a more exciting match than Esperance versus Sundowns, which is going to be much more about control and the finer details of the match. My final prediction, though, is going to be let's go 1-1 for Al Ahli and Mazembe. And for Esperance and Sundowns, we said Esperance is going to win by 1 goal. Let's say 1-0 or 2-1 for Esperance de Tunis. Thanks for listening. I'm going to try to get this uploaded as quickly as possible so you guys can watch it tonight on Friday evening, Saturday morning before the matches, and Saturday evening or Sunday morning we'll have a reaction to the first leg of the semifinal matches, which are really, really exciting. Take care. Let me know what you're looking forward to seeing in these matches, what you think of this preview, and any reaction to the matches would be welcome too. Take care, guys, and we'll speak soon. Peace.